to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Yes, I want to love you. That's the king of reggae, Bob Marley.
Bob Marley made amazing songs ever. You know, whenever I was like at uni, I always listened to Bob Marley's songs.
It's always a good day.
Yeah, it always like had the, you know, had the feelings for it, right? And, you know, even if it's about freedom, if it's even about love, he always had the feeling for it.
Yeah, because his, all his songs, you know, they have the meaning, they are powerful, and they are very encouraging. So that's why they don't die out. You know, it's like a decade or two decades ago, and it's still like fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. Jambo, Kehora, Salam Alaikum.
Wanakam, and then.
Namaste.
How do you call it? People used to confuse that slangers also have namaste, but yeah, it's not namaste.
Oh.
It's Wanakam.
Wanakam.
Yeah, so that's Wanakam. Tamil. Because namaste is Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not, you know, that's why I used to see that in, you know, all the recent when came, they did have some namaste in it, and it doesn't fix with slang.
So it should be Wanakam.
Yeah, it should be Wanakam.
Now I will fix it. So those are our international greetings. So you know them. Salam now. Today is a very great day here in Auckland, although it's not very bright, but, you know, it's chilly. We hope it will be all right throughout this evening. And this is me, Galwak Chul, and my colleague
is Joby here.
Yeah.
It's to be honest, Auckland weather, it's getting messy now.
Yeah.
It's so getting winter.
Yeah, if you are not in Auckland, if you are not in New Zealand, you have no idea what we are talking about, because we have four seasons in one day.
In one day. It's going to be 13 degrees tonight, because I was like listening to the news and the weather report, and they were telling us that it was 20 degrees on the morning, but it's going to be 13 degrees tonight, and 7 degrees going down.
It's going to be chilly.
Yeah, it's
so chilly. Yeah, you need a warm place. So, yeah, that's our world, eh?
Yeah, that's totally New Zealand how it is, yeah. Right?
So guys, listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you have just tuned in, this is Resident Radio brought to you by AICC on Planet FM 104.6. And we are glad to be here in this studio with you. And we will play you the music, and we will have a discussion on some of the things that are facing the planet. One of these hot issues now facing the planet is climate change. We all know what the climate change is. If we, in case you don't know, we will break it down for you what it means, and how far you know about it, and how bad it is for our planet, for our world, for our environment, and for all the good things we have been doing. It is a threat. It's threatening our world. You know.
Yeah, in short, the climate change is a change in our routine weather or routine climate that we happen to see. If, for example, the heat wave in India, and then the frozen snow that was, you know, it was heavily snowing in New York, right? So which are the major things is because it does affect routine work that we has been going on. It's either our fishing industry or the primary industries, even with agriculture, and it does affect them, right? Because you could say, you know, if it is a heat wave, it means, you know, it's less rain. So if it is less rain, all the water reserve would be evaporated, right? So that means totally there is no water for them to do agriculture, right? And does affect the whole industry of agriculture.
So now, if you can break it down into simple language that an ordinary person can understand, what is a climate change? I have my own view of it. I can just say climate change to me means I don't have oxygen. You know, the oxygen is gone. It's like, you know, the air is polluted, and then that affects the oxygen we have, the amount of oxygen we have, and it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and the only way oxygen, you know, being produced extensively from carbon dioxide is just through the tree, right? And we does deforestation because of our overpopulation. We are being populated, and the whole world is being populated now, and we constantly cutting trees. And this is why we talked about that, you know, I think that I was reading about Amazon forest. That's 3/4 of our carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. It's being, you know, converted into oxygen by the Amazon forest only, right? And that is a major reserve for the entire world to survive. The problem is that we does have problems of deforestation around Amazon, right? And there's people who are really fighting to stop deforestation in the biggest forest that making sure the human is being survived in the planet, right? So this is constantly happening. And to me, climate change is the concern for the future. Because I might be able to live, what about my grandchildren, what about my children? Would they be able to live in this planet if we were making it worse?
Yeah.
Right? And I think that it was one time that I was at the uni, and then I met one of the person who came to us, and, you know, in the lectures, and they were talking about, you know, how well she experienced the impact of our plastic waste that we were putting out. And she talked about that we won't know the impact that what we are doing today in New Zealand, but if you visit to, you know, Bali, or if you visit to, you know, Indonesian riverside or the sea waves near to Indonesia, you would know the accumulated plastic in the seabed. And she said that they traced back the water bottle that was found in Bali back into New Zealand and Australia. And how this happening, because when you throw out all the waste just being accumulated and putting into landfill, some of them ended up to the sea and they were just being dragged down to the Indian Ocean, right? And she talked about it, just because it's being dragged out, it's piling up into a bigger island. It's kind of an island of plastics that affecting the fish, and that's affecting us just because we are fishing them. And we literally taking the fish and then putting into the market, and then we are consuming it, right? One of the things that she especially talked about is a microplastic, because people do talk about, all right, say plastic, or plastic should be with a water bottle, or it should be with a plastic bag that we are consuming. We do have single-use plastic being banned in New Zealand, which is a very good thing, and it's a best thing to, you know, stop climate change.
That's right.
But on one other side, are we really recycling it, right? Are we being recyclable? And then what our part as consumers, right?
And this is one of the biggest question we have now, because we take our, to my understanding, we take our rubbish to China. And now China, I read in the newspaper, I think it was stuff.co.nz, and China is saying now no more.
Yeah.
He's not buying back all this rubbish we take to China. Now our rubbish will deal with us here in New Zealand. So what are we going to do about it? Do we have any mechanism, you know, in place?
And the worst thing is that it's been piled up in Thames, right? So they're piling up, the city council has been piling up all the rubbish that's been collected into the Thames. And they are just saying that they can export to any countries now. So they're looking at option that how they can reduce the accumulation of the garbage. And to be noted that Auckland only produce 1 million tons of garbage to landfill. And that means 14 million tons will be produced within our 40 years time. And that look like we can cover entire Auckland region with plastic. So this is the accumulation of the garbage that we're putting out to, you know, to our street and to landfill, that we are doing it every week, right? That's the collection that has been happening by the city council. So this is where my questions goes in. All right, what's our responsibility from now and what we should do? Because we have a major role, because we are the one producing these 40 millions or millions of tons of waste, right? And we are the reason here. And we are the one forcing, you know, biggest producers to produce, you know, packaging with plastics, and plastic being a single-used base plastics. And why? Because one of the person who asked me, because I was like, you know, talking to one of them and about the straws, you know, the straws that we use.
Right?
In McDonald's, because McDonald's now, they just say, all right, we leave to consumers to choose. Right? Because, you know, we are not going to give them the straw. But if you want it, you can come and take it.
But how about if it is not environmentally friendly?
It doesn't. They are just saying that they are taking the responsibility from themselves and leaving to the consumer.
You
right?
See, that's where the loopholes are.
The loopholes are.
So everybody should be held accountable for whatever he or she is doing.
And practically just seeing that, all right, as a consumer, if we are not being educated, what does the straw does is literally affect our sea life, because straw takes more than 100 years to decompose, right? And it does take a huge amount of time for it to, you know, decompose. And it's going to end up to the sea, and it's very small and going to even go into, because I think that I was watching one of the video about a turtle who had a straw in his nose, and it's abducted his nose, and they are, you know, rescuers like trying to remove the straw.
Oh, man.
This is what, you know, has been happening. It has been constantly happening to our sea life. You know, all the organisms over there, they're living happily, but we're trying to affect them just by using something that not going to decompose for, you know, a few years. And, you know, for more years, for 100 years. And this is what, you know, impact of what we are doing as a consumers, what we are doing as a people. this is where, because I do see, you know, the climate change being talked out by many people. Even school children came out to, you know, advocate for climate change. Yeah. There was one of the girls, she was in Swiss, and she came out to advocate for climate change. And she said, I don't want to go to school. I wanted to be on my street, and then I will advocate for it. So we do see that, you know, our next generation is advocating for climate change. But the question is that, what about the middle-aged people? What about the people who are old, right? Mm-hmm. So who are the one knowing what should we do from our households, what we should do and what we shouldn't do?
Yeah.
Because I do see, yeah, all right, council just putting the garbage boxes, right? Mm-hmm. We do have garbage boxes. But they do have instruction. They do say that don't put the tin in here. Put the tin in the recycles. Mm-hmm. Yes, don't put the tin in the landfill. Landfills only need to put organic and inorganic stuff. But most of our plastics go to, you know, our landfill,
mm-hmm.
right? And I always ask it, why we don't have an organic bin?
Yeah.
Right? One of the things that we don't get is organic bin. Right? But other council does that. Right, I do see that the Hamilton Council had an organic bin, right, that being placed out. And that's for your kitchen waste, right? It's practically, you know, the scrap thing that you are putting out, or, you know, anything that's very organic, even a shell, the eggshell, right, that you're going to throw it off. They are very organic and they are happily decomposable. And if you put them onto one, that would be way better. And to fill, you know, your landfill, always look at how we can minimize your plastic being disposed into the landfill.
Yeah. So today I attended a workshop for the climate change hosted by Hearth Action Trust. And Hearth Action Trust has been doing this for year and year in, year out for a long time now, having a conversation about the climate change because it becomes a threat. And a lot of things there have been discussed. And what I heard for the first time today is that 12 years from today, everyone in New Zealand will feel the impact of climate change. 12 years from today. It's like tomorrow. Yeah. It's not even very far. And so talking about that, we thought, oh, something that should be done. I think we need to have a break, and then we will come back, and then we will see what should be done, you know, because now we acknowledge the problem. Yes, there's a problem, but what can be done to prevent that problem to happen? Meaning it has already happened too.
Yeah.
You know?
And we only have 12 years to, you know, go back, right, make changes and to act on it. If we don't act within the 12 years, we are just done.
Yeah, if you don't act. That's right.
All right, we will be back and just listen to the song.
Yeah, stay tuned, don't go away. More on the way. This is Coffee, not Coffee. This is Awilo Logomba, a Congolese artist.
moi, non, lui.
Je m'appelle Coupé Coupé Bibamba.
Non, l'autre. Préparez-vous, car les bonnes choses ne durent jamais. Attention, le dom des dom revient en colère. Ah! Bombe de la Nasuke au Chile. Bombe de la Nahana Chipapa. Kutukucho Kayana. Kutukucho Mombele. Kutukucho Kayana. Kutukucho Mombele. Kutukucho Kayana. Come on, come on.
Welcome back, and that was Awilo Logomba singing Coupe Coupe Bamba. So I don't know what that means. He's singing in French. And I took a French class when I was in high school, and then I dropped it out.
So I did French class when I was in a refugee camp.
Yeah.
No, I'm being honest. Like I really like it, how it was pronounced.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty difficult.
I like the fact that they pronounce every letter.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar to how Indonesians pronounce, you know, their letters.
Because yeah, yeah.
It's pretty similar, you know, vocabulary that they had, right? It's pretty similar pronunciation that they had.
But the accent is what...
It's also
the accent is so nice, you know, but, you know, how the way you write it sometimes does not look the way it sounds.
Yeah, and the good thing about having to talk about language is that, you know, New Zealand is even being language rich, and you know, you heard about that Kiwi language become the sexiest language.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. That's so good, eh?
Yeah, it is so good. It is so good, and I was wondering how that can be. And someone made a clip about the Titanic, and they were made a Kiwi version.
Kiwi version of it.
I was like laughing at it. If you ever wanted to watch, just go to YouTube and just search
just watch it.
Yeah, and it's so funny.
It will come back. Welcome back. If you just tune in, you are listening to Resident Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6, and I'm Galwak Shula and Yobi in the studio here live. And today is on 18th Saturday 2019, so 2020 is so close.
Yeah, it's getting close. That's why I was wondering, because you talked about the 12 years to live.
Yeah.
I'm just going to think about what I'm going to do for 12 years.
Yeah, for 12 years. Before we went for a break, so we said now, because we are talking about the climate change, and now we have only 12 years to feel the impact. Everyone will feel the impact of climate change. You know, there may be a drought, maybe, you know, lack of food. It can come in anything, you know, in anything. So now you may be like, oh, people are talking about it. Maybe we have some time, you know, before it happens. It already happened.
Yeah, it's already happening.
Yeah.
Even if it is, I talked about the heat wave in India, and it's also, you know, the snowing, that, you know, the extreme weather that was experienced in the United States, right? You know, it also affected all the people who were in the ground. Even they even landed the flights. Just because, you know, they didn't even, you know, watch for or being prepared for the change. And it was pretty hard. Even, you know, they had to land, hold the aeroplane that was passing by because of the snow condition. And this is happening all around the world now. And even New Zealand experienced it because, you know, last year we had the longest summer. Right, with the highest, you know, temperature ever recorded. And we still see, you know, the extreme weather condition of, you know, the cold condition. We wouldn't know what's going to be, you know, when we would know by August what is going to be for our winter, right? No wonder if it is even snowing in Auckland, right? It's never been a snow in Auckland.
Yeah.
But if you do see snows, then just don't be surprised just because that has been happening.
So, yeah, talking about 12 years from now, this is, we don't have enough time. Time has already run out. And people have been talking about climate change, these are the things that are bad about climate change, the disadvantages about it. It has no advantage, by the way. It's all about disadvantages. So now what have been spoken, what is missing is action. So what can we do to prevent it? Not to prevent it, to turn it around, because it has already happened. So in the discussions going on now, people say we have to plant more trees. You know, tree planting would be one of the good ways or good action to take in order to prevent it.
And I do see, even because this is a major concern into looking at, all right, we wanted to plant trees, right? But in one side, that issue is the urban development, right? Because we does have housing crisis, right? And in one side, we wanted to plant trees, but one side, we needed to, you know, build houses, right? This means we have to deforest.
And one guy before, in one of our discussions, said population increase is part of climate change, is involved in it. Because once the population has increased, also the demand, you know, for the environment increase. Maybe there are no more gardens, you know, no more homemade food. You don't grow your own food because you don't have more space to grow your food. You don't have a backyard, you know, because the population has grown. And whether with immigration or without immigration, so population will increase anyway. You cannot blame it on one thing.
Yeah. But the question is that how we could do co-living. Because I was reading something about co-living. Co-living is like how we can even have trees in your house.
Yeah.
Right? It's practically about how we can live along with the nature. Right? Mm. How well we can build houses that, you know, accommodate trees. Mm. Without cutting trees, how we can build a tree.
Yeah.
You know, build a house. Because I used to see there was one of the, you know, houses in India. There was, you know, a structural house they built around a bigger tree because they don't want it to cut the tree.
Mm.
Right? So they built it around it. Right?
Yeah.
They put like a, you know, like a rounded shape, you know, around the whole structure.
Mm.
And they built it around it just because they wanted to protect the tree. And they don't want it to just cut it out and then build a house.
Mm.
And this is some kind of co-living idea would be very ideal.
Yeah, this is a very brilliant idea.
Right? And it should be something that it considered in urban development.
Mm.
It's when you're buying houses, you should consider about, all right, my house is where it is and what my need gonna be. And just question your construction company just to say, can I have a house that's around the tree area? Can you minimize the impact that you are doing to the environment? Can you decrease the deforestation that you are doing to build the houses? Mm. If we can do that, so that will be primary. And there was one of the other thing that I was looked at is how we can use, you know, plastics to build houses.
Yeah.
Right? How we can use, you know, recycled materials, because some of the houses can be restored, right?
We can go back to, you know, to the wooden materials, you know, use wood, you know, things like brick, bricks,
Yeah.
You know.
And yeah. It would be good if we do, you know, build, you know, houses using bricks, because it's even cheaper. But it's also, everything have a sort of environmental effect because of the soil that we use, right? Because soil is also being mined, right? And, you know, even building cement or, you know, production of the cement or even production of the brick. Even with wheat, we do have the impact, but the impact might be minimized if you do build it by brick. So the question is finding something that have a very less effect compared to having huge effect, and also living with the environment rather than impacting it.
Yeah.
And also looking at how we can minimize the plastic waste, right? Whenever you go to, you know, supermarkets, look and ask for things, you know. One of the things that, you know, my mom used to do is whenever she go for shopping, she just buy the stuff and then remove the plastic coverage and leave it on the pack and set, right? She just say that that's their responsibility, they take it, and I will go home and put it in my fridge, right? So ideally, it would be way better if you do have the system being established. It just, you create the demand, consumer create the demand, right? We create the demand. We just go to a, you know, a manufacturer and say, we don't want plastic, right? We never going to touch the plastic. That will make an impact on manufacturer thinking, right, what we have option. Because they do have option for using
particular. That's why I'm saying, you know, the scientists would give us the way to go. Like, maybe we can have conversation with businesses. Okay, if you produce plastics, what is the option, you know, to have a friendly environment? Because what you produce is not friendly to the environment, you are adding damage to it. So what can we do to solve the problem? Maybe there should be a way, just like you put it, maybe there should be other alternatives to get around that, you know, in a way that we can save the environment. And I think one of the, you know, the climate change is around greenhouse gas emission. Greenhouse gas emission. And I read the other day, I think it was last week, I read in one of the major newspapers that Norway by 2030, they would make it a criminal offense to drive a petrol car.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And so I said, like, wait a minute. So now Norway has taken the lead. But there are no more details about how will the, you know, the population will cope with this one, because I thought it should be step by step. By now we should have more electric cars available, and if they are available, are they affordable to the community? Are we able to, you know, to buy them and use them?
Because do you see the fact, you know, because as you see, right, you know, as you mentioned the greenhouse gases, and it was come under the Paris Agreement, right? So the Paris Agreement was established within the countries who are under United Nations, and they came together for the climate change, and they agreed upon cutting the carbon emission. And majority of the carbon emission comes out of our petrol vehicle, right? The vehicle that we drive is emit a lot of carbon out of it, right? A lot of methane out of it. So it does have a biggest impact to, you know, our population, because be practical, in Auckland, you know, every one family does have more than three cars, right? So
I got two already in the house.
Yeah. So just because it's go back to the concern of, because I was, you know, I was talking to someone who talked about environmental change and, you know, cutting carbon emission, because Auckland City Council agreed to cut the carbon emission by 30%, right, by 2030. So the question that I asked them, that how could you do that if you do have accumulated car collection? We already have traffic congestion, but we're trying to build is we're building motorways. We're building roadways rather than we were investing on our public transport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, so, and yeah, you mentioned public transport is a very good point, because one of the solutions people talk about is to have to use public transport, because the emission is not the same as using your own car. But the thing is, having the transport, public transport available to everybody is one thing, but affordability is another. Will the community afford the public transport? Is it more affordable? Because now people are saying, oh, let's put more trains on the road. But are the trains, you know, affordable? The last time I checked, it was like, you know, it was $5.
Yeah, and it's also a question about affordability and also accessibility.
Yeah, accessibility
because,
too, yeah.
Because I do see that, all right, public transport available, but if I wanted to go to Mount Roskill, I have to take at least 3 buses,
yeah,
right, to go
yeah.
to Mount Roskill from Hobbik, from yeah. east. So I do see that the, you know, the network is not well produced.
And even going from, let's say, within the South itself, South Auckland, going from Otahuhu, to you can get a train from Otahuhu to Papatoa, but how would you get to Mangere?
Yeah.
There's no train there, so you have to get out and take a bus. So it's still, you know, accessibility is a problem here.
Yeah, and it should be affordable as well. Mm-hmm. And as Gaulag was mentioning, you know, it's very different when 100 people get into one train
yeah.
versus 100 people going in 100 cars.
Yeah.
Right? That's
yeah.
the accumulated yeah. carbon
yeah.
emission.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can be cut down if
yeah.
we make our public transport more affordable. And without just saying that I'm going to, because I do see that there was 40 to 50 million were invested in our, you know, infrastructure development, which is going into, you know, building more motorways and building a Waterview tunnel. And all of these were invested on, you know, building more infrastructure.
Mm.
But the question is, the problem is not about infrastructure. It's problem about making public transport more accessible. If you do so, then you can cut off the carbon emission.
Yeah.
And I like the way that the Fulgov, you know, the mayor. For Auckland's council, he have, you know, placed an order now that by, you know, that on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, everyone who is under 15 year olds can get a free transport to city.
Oh, that would be good.
I thought that's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, when is it going to come into effect?
I have no idea, but they talked
maybe,
about it.
Maybe election promise.
Yeah, it might be an election promise, but he wanted to take it in fact before he gone into election.
I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah,
that's a very good idea.
Do see, because most people to take car, because, you know, if I'm transporting like someone who is like with me as a family, right, me and my you know, my wife, and then I do have 2 other children or 3 other children, then I would be just going with, you know, car. That's because, you know, is how much is going to cost for me to transport my children and myself to the city. It might be too much compared to the car, because I would have 4 people, 5 people in the seat in a car.
Yeah.
And I can transport all of them together for one price. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's way cheaper compared to I'm going on a train or going on a public transport. So people would likely to choose, you know, the public transport more often. But in fact, it's also a question that does it contribute to the carbon emission? It might contribute a bit, but it's not being free entirely for the whole week. It's only free from Friday to, you know, Saturday and Sunday. But it would be much more better if they do have public transport that are free to under 15-year-olds. Or it might be better if we have an affordable price for all of us for to use public transport and invest those money on there rather than investing on our infrastructure on building more, you know, more road or more Waterview tunnels or, you know, more ways to connect to the city, rather build, you know, or, you know, lightweight trails, build, you know, the public transport networks and facilitate it and put the money forward for it. And I think that that's the ideal development that would literally promised that we can cut off the carbon emission by 30%. I know that the government have placed a region of fuel tax just to reduce the number of cars over there. But then the question, because most of the people said, right, there's a region of fuel tax, it's a very good thing because it's going to put a pressure on the cars.
Yeah.
But then the money that's raised from the region of fuel tax is going to infrastructure, which is building more roads.
More roads, yeah.
So the question...
More driving.
Is more driving, yeah. Right? It's a question, yeah, all right, we are doing something that's good, but we're also doing something bad on the one other way. That would be very ideal if you do, you know, better way on putting that money for public transport network development as, say, all right, that's for infrastructure. We develop a public transport, we make it much more cheaper.
Yeah.
Right? In Norway, that they ban entirely for the access for, you know, cars to the city center. Right? So in the city center, there was no cars were allowed to go in.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
So, that's Norway.
Yeah, it's Norway. And even in Netherlands, they done the similar things. And they had seen people who are using other mode of transport, right? Which is even a lime scooter, right? Taking a lime scooter.
Like now, like me, if I go to the city, I don't use my car.
Yeah.
I use a train.
Yeah.
So make it simple, less stressful.
Yeah. And that's the ideal mode of transport. And that is something ideal. I would really see that have the good impact just because it, you know, cut down the usage of the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's contribute towards using more public transport, more healthier population, more people walking, more people using cycling, more people using other mode of transport.
Because now people are getting lazy and lazy. They don't want to walk.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing that also walking is a part of, you know, well-being.
And it's part of well-being, and it's also part of the communal health, right?
It's
as a society, it's have the biggest impact on it, right? It's letting our people being more active, letting our people being making good choices, and also cutting the carbon emission.
Yeah,
and this can be done in New Zealand. It can be done even in Auckland, right? It is possible for yourself. But the next question is: all right, this is systematic. Right, so we do have policies, we do have things that government enforcing it, which is like, you know, plastic, plastic ban, the single-use plastic ban, and other policies has been in place. As you said, you know, even Norway placing those policies to usage.
Mm.
And the question is, as a people, what we could do, right? Either thinking about using electric vehicles. So next time you're buying a car, just look for electric car, right? Look for electric car. So that you can use it and reduce the carbon emission. Because, you know, more than 70% of our electricity is renewable energy. It's been produced entirely from renewable
energy. And one of my friends last week encouraged me to how good it is. He was talking me into it, you know. It's like how good is the electric car is. He was comparing his car, the usage of his car, with his wife's usage of car. Because it's a wife and husband and wife, and they have both cars. The husband got a petrol car, and the wife got electric car. So it's like the wife is spend like maybe for a week, less than $30 a week, while the husband spends over $100, and they both go to work, and the wife, you know, troubles more than the husband, and is the one using the less money. So it's less cost, and he was saying even if the electric car is expensive, but the maintenance is like cost. You know, you don't have a lot of spending on it. You know, when you have it, when you use it.
And that's what you know. Practically important is just saying, right, I do see that buying a petrol car is cheaper compared to electric car, right? Even though the newest cars in the market, because most people are consuming, you know, they are buying cars who are second-use cars.
Yeah, second-use cars.
Right? So Japan being imported, these cars are, petrol cars are being imported from Japan, and they are second-used cars in New Zealand, and because it's cheaper for people to buy.
Yeah.
Even you can buy a car for $3,000.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what people have been doing it. But the question is, on the other side, the electric vehicles, even if it has been made cheaper compared to the first buyer, because if you go to and see the price of a first buying, you know, petrol car, they are much higher at price compared to electric vehicles. They are very lower at price. But if you go to Tesla, you buy like very fancy car for $20,000, $25,000. You can buy a very awesome car. You have an internal system which is computerized, right? And does have autopilot features. Right, so you can buy like very fancy car for $25,000, but these cars are not available as the Japan exported, you know, second version car for $2,000 or $3,000. This is where the factual problem is, right? Because people were choosing the petrol car because it's cheaper, and then they meant to choose electric vehicle. The government made the electric vehicles to be cheaper than petrol vehicle. But they are choosing petrol cars just because it's cheaper by imported by Japan. Right?
Yeah.
So this is the factual problem that has been happening and has been, you know, contributing the society to have more petrol car rather than electric vehicle.
Than electric vehicles.
But I like the idea when transport agency announced that for all the electric vehicle right now, they can use a T2 lane. Right?
Oh, okay. So you can travel faster.
Faster, right? Because, you know, the waiting time that they are spending in traffic might contribute its, you know, the electric vehicle losing its battery. So they put a new law by saying if you're an electric vehicle, you can travel.
But how many times can you charge the battery, like for a week, let's say?
I think you can charge every day if you want it, right? But it's up to the level that you have to be kept on. Mm. But when you're traveling on, you always have to keep the high when you're traveling on because it would be way better if you do have a car that have a higher battery charge compared to having battery charge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you go on a lower battery charge, it's going to warn you.
It's just like a phone, eh?
Yeah. It's pretty much like a phone.
Yeah. If you know you're going to talk long, so charge it full, 100%, 98%, 99%, and then, you can have time.
And most of the places now have electric vehicle charging units.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it in many places now around Auckland here.
Yeah, even
and some people
have it.
Sylvia Park too.
Yeah, they do have it on the underground, parking area. They do have an electric vehicle parking area and also have a charging plug.
And I know a friend who charges his car in the house.
Yeah, you can do that at the house.
Yeah.
It's practically, you know, possible. And it's mean, you know, it's very less money being spent. It's mean that you can contribute better just because you are cutting out the carbon emission.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good things that you can do. But in other way, the government should look at how we can practically make it as a second type of vehicle that can be imported from Japan as electric vehicles. So this is the issue that might collide into.
Yeah.
Because these second vehicles are, you know, old, like 2006, 2000 years old.
Yeah.
You know, because these are old vehicles that produced in 2006.
I think they should get out of the market, all these old vehicles.
Yeah. Or they could just ban it.
Yeah.
They could ban all the import from Japan to New Zealand.
Because getting into electric cars, I think we have to do it step by step. First, ban the old ones while introducing the idea of electric cars, and then try to talk to the businesses. This is where the conversation comes in, because one of the ideas that was thrown around before in the workshop, we attended the climate change workshop, is like, we need more conversation, more education, more involvement from the broad perspectives. Let the business people be there. Let the communities be there. It's like, this is a threat. This is a problem. What can we do about this one? Everyone has a stake, you know, in the problem.
Yeah, and
it's
everyone,
not one-sided.
Everyone have their own role in the problem. And I really wanted to say, all right, we talked about cars and the usage of cars in one medium. Hmm. But it's also start from ourselves being at home. Because I do see that how many of us really, really recycle.
Yeah.
Right? We have, because some of the people who say, oh, they're just putting a bottle. I just say, when you're putting the bottle, always think about the label around it.
Yeah.
Because the label is not recyclable. If you put a bottle without, you know, with the label, they won't be recycled. Right? So always remove the top label to put the, you know, bottles there.
Yeah.
And it's also recommended to wash them before putting in. Because if you have a contaminant inside, that is most likely not going to be recycled. But glass are the best option out of the plastic that's recyclable plastics. That's because they talked
about...
Can
we put the glass in the recycled bin?
Yeah.
Can we?
Yeah, you can put glass bottles in the recycled bin, not the broken glasses.
Yeah, not the broken...
Right, so don't put broken glasses in the recycled bin, because it might hurt the people, right?
So these are the things that some communities have no idea what they should do.
Yeah,
you know?
And glass are being 100% recycled in New Zealand, right? It's extensively reusable, right? It's 100% a reusable product.
Yeah.
And just because they can simply break it down and then heat it up and then
heat it up
glass,
and then make it again.
Right?
So easy.
It's so easy. And it does not have the effect to the environment as a glass, you know, being
as a
left
plastic
over,
yeah,
you know, into the sea, and then it's have all the issues. It doesn't have that. But plastic, do you have it? And most of the plastic that we do see that, it can be recyclable, or it have a recyclable label. We're putting in the recyclable. If we don't wash it, if we don't pre-clean it, they won't be recyclable. either tin or the glasses are the good product. And some people even turn in New Zealand that they started buying glass bottles, and they're going to, you know, Peck and Save and stuff, and they're filling their, you know, glass bottles with stuff. You know, even buying nuts or, you know, getting, you know, some stuff that you wanted to buy. You know, instead of using a plastic bag, they're using the glass bottles. So which is practically something that everyone can do. And it's everything start from your house, right? Everything start from your own house. And that was important. It's always think about how we can start everything from your house.
Yeah.
And go from there and reduce carbon emissions.
Yeah, because it's a collective responsibility for everyone. And you, if you have kids, you know, let them not throw things around, especially things that are not environmental friendly. That's why it's good for the people to talk. I know there are communities, there are groups, you know, climate change groups. Unless you join one of those groups and try to know what you should do as individual, because there's individual responsibility in that. You know, it's a, climate change is a big package. And there are decision makers in it. There are individuals in it. It's so big, and it involves everyone. You know, it can include all of us.
And it's also our responsibility, as I say, in research communities, does have a responsibility of understanding, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
Just because we might not got exposed to it while we were back in our own countries, but what we have to know is we are in a new country that have a highest usage of plastic compared to back in the country. Because I used to see that back in the country, we don't use plastic bag.
Yeah.
We used to use the cloth bag to buy something, right? Because plastic bags are not readily available out there. It's only the plastic that we use, the plastic water bottles.
Yeah.
Right? It's only come in the water bottle. And, you know, this has been massively produced and it's been used by people. That's the only accumulation that we got. And I do see that as a research community, we do have a collective responsibility to understand, you know, what we should do about it and how we can contribute as a community. And as you said, you know, joining those group and having conversation is very ideal for you to start something that you can start from.
Yeah, because now if you don't know, you don't know about it. But if you know, you know what you know, and you can take it from there. It's one thing to be committed to do something, and it's another thing to know what you really want to do about it.
Yeah, and we will be back just by listening to the song.
This is Selena Gomez.
It started from Selena Gomez, and so that's why you have to start listening to this song, and you will listen.
Stay tuned, we'll be back.
Báilame como si fuera la última vez y enséñame ese pasito que no sé, un besito bien suavecito, bebé. Taki taki, taki taki rumba. Un besito bien suavecito, bebé. Taki taki, taki taki, taki taki. Tienes un besito o un aquí. Uña flota como Saki Saki. Prende los motores de Kawasaki. En la discota ya ni llegaron los Anonaki. No le va el puri sobresale de tu traje. No trajo panticito pa' que el nene no trabaje. Es que yo me sé lo que ella cree que ya se sabe. Cuenta que no quiere, pero me tiene espionaje. El puri sobresale de tu traje. No trajo panticito pa' que el nene no trabaje. Hacer lo que ella cree que ya se sabe. Cuenta que no quiere, pero me tiene espionaje. Báilame como si fuera la última vez y enséñame ese pasito que no sé. Un besito bien suavecito, bebé. Taki taki, taki taki rumba.
Touch it and tease it and squeeze it with my piggyback. It's hungry, my nigga, you need to feed it. If the text ain't freaky, I don't wanna read it. And just to let you know, this Panani is undefeated. Ay, he said he really wanna see me more. I said we should have a date where at the Lamborghini store. I'm kinda scary, hard to beat, I'm like a wizard boy. But I'm a boss bitch, who you gonna leave me for? You got no class, you bitches is broke still. I be talking cash shit while I'm popping my gold grill. I'm a whole rich bitch and I work like I'm broke still. The love be so fake, but the hate be so real. Sobre sale de mi traje. No traje 27 pa' que el nene no trabaje. Es que yo me sé lo que tú crees que tú no sabes. Dice que no quiere, pero se quiere comerle el equipaje.
Báilame como si fuera la última vez. Y enséñame ese pasito que no sé. Un besito bien suavecito, bebé. Taki, taki.
And that is Selena Gomez singing Taki Taki Rumba. I don't know what that means, but song is a song and it's nice, so good. And my friend and my colleague Yobi has just gone. Have a good drive, Yobi. And I see that we are coming to the end of our program now. And not much time to talk about it because this radio show is only 1 hour show a week. And thank you for those people who have tuned in. And for our listeners, we always value you being with us all the time. And we thank you for that. And please, you can visit the website, the Planet FM 104.6, and then you go to the Rasel Community Radio, and you will download our podcasts there, and it's always there, and we appreciate that. So we have been talking, me and Yobi, we have been discussing and talking about the climate change and the threats of the climate change, and the world is so terrified by this. And it is announced that 12 years from today, everyone in New Zealand will feel the impact of the climate change. So it comes to our responsibility as individuals, as decision makers, as the business people, as human beings, that we have to do something about climate change. What can we do to make it better? What can we do to turn things around? Climate change has already happened, and it has already happened, and it's happening, and the world, the planet is getting warmer and warmer and warmer, although some people, you know, don't take it seriously, but this is a serious matter. It's a big problem. It is affecting us. That's what happened. Greenhouse gas emission. So it's a problem. Driving petrol cars is a problem to the climate change. It's a contributing factor to climate change. So one of the best ways that people think should reduce the climate change in terms of petrol cars, we can use less of them and get use into public transport, because public transport like a train and a bus have less emission than the petrol car. Although all of them, they use petrol, but not the same percentage as if you are the only one driving. So that's it for today, and we will be back again next week, next Saturday, same time, same place, and have a beautiful week. From the studio, this is Galwashul. Bye-bye from now, and I'm leaving you with, this is Night Nurse Gregor Isaac. Stay tuned, and yeah. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Tell her try your best just to make it quick. Pour my tin to the sink. Cause there must be something she can do. This heart is broken in two. It's a case of emergency. There's a patient by the name of Gregory. Night nurse. Only you alone can quench the setters. Getting worse. I don't wanna see no doc. I need attendance from my nurse around the clock. Cause there's no prescription for me. She's the one
the only remedy. Nightmares. Only you alone can quit.
That was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday. Same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetterradio.